Let me again be welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so sincerely and say it often, but it's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning of the lesson, if you'd like to follow along. So that'd be the lesson from the text that was read to us in Psalm chapter 37. And each of the major points tells us how we can increase our reliance upon God, especially in times of trouble or hardship or discouragement. So just looking ahead, point number one is found in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes that's difficult to do when things are not going our way. People, sometimes when they have discouragement or hardships, they want to abandon God. But no, the psalmist is encouraging us to go toward God. Second, do things that honor God. Just do good. Number 3, dwell. In other words, think about it. The Lord's faithfulness. And then number 4, delight yourself in the Lord. We'll make some comments about that. Then number 5, dedicate or commit your way to the Lord. Number 6, don't fret. Don't fret because of your situation. And the last one, put discipline. But the phrase is rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. So there's the idea that the psalmist is giving in chapter 37. In looking at the news, there's many stories of disaster. Hurricane Ida caused devastation in the lives of a lot of people. Destruction. There's been wind and floods. Fires. People losing property, homes. We have drought. Wow. Volcano. COVID-19. Well, you may know someone that's already died from that, or has it. But the lesson today is, I put in your notes, if I lost my earthly treasure, or any or all of it, or my health, would I lose my faith too? If I lost what I hold in my hand, would I lose my faith? Would I abandon God? Now, I'm not denying the value of tangible things, and I enjoy things, and I would certainly be upset if there was loss of some kind, even my health. But Jesus tells us that that possibility can happen. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart follows our treasure. I would add to that list, I think I put in your notes, things that can happen to our stuff. It can be misplaced. It can be really lost. Be broken. You put it in storage or you throw it away or it might be replaced. Needs repair. Yeah. Or it can be taken by a disaster. Lots of things can happen to our stuff. Job considered the extreme. In Job 13, verse 15, Job said, though he slay me, Job, you've already lost all your possessions and your health. And then he said, but if he slays me, yet will I trust him. I want that attitude. And I want that attitude to be instilled in us. Now, right now, here we are in our corner of the United States, and we're not experiencing, at least personally, I'm not, the fires or the drought or the hurricanes or the floods. I'm not experiencing any real devastation right now in my life. But what if it came? Where would I go? To whom would I trust? So Psalm 37, a very popular psalm among Bible class teachers and preachers, to turn to when hardship comes in our life. It's a lesson we want to learn. How am I going to increase my reliance upon God? How am I going to do that? The psalmist answers the question. Number one, he says, put your trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It's mentioned two more times in the chapter. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. In verse 40, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So I find stability in an unstable world by having my trust in God. And when God says, I will save you or deliver you, that's better than earthly treasure. Even when if there's material loss or I lose my health, God promises to meet the needs of His children. In this same psalm, verse 37, I've been young, and you can quote this scripture, I know, and I've been old, but yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That's right. Trusting in God is not going to make the pain go away. That's not the message. I'm still going to have to live with my discouragement or hardship or poor health or whatever it is. But what the psalmist is saying is that God will provide what I truly need. A couple of songs reflect this attitude. One of them is in our book, number 467. The title of the song is, We Have an Anchor. We have an anchor. And the songwriter says concerning, what if hardship comes my way? He asked the question, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Good question. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. See, the promise is not to take away our difficulties and discouragements. It says if we put our trust in God, there's an anchor that holds and it keeps us on God's side. Another song from a psalmist we had before. The hymn writer says, well, sometimes the shadows are deep. That's right. The shadows are deep. And rough seems the path to the goal. Yeah. It's hard. And sorrows, sometimes how they sweep like tempests over our soul. Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. So number one, and when things happen, and they will, keep your trust in God, the psalmist says, number one. Number two, says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So now he adds to it. The first principle is think right, and now the second principle is act right. Do that which we know to do. Right acting means doing good. That's going to build a heavenly treasure, and that's how we lay hold on eternal life. Trust and do good. Do good. Number three is dwell on the faithfulness of the Lord. Still in Psalm 70, 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord, that was number one. And do good, number two. And you shall dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Oh, the faithfulness of God, you shall be fed. It's the message of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I remember a little girl in Bible class was going to quote the 23rd Psalm. She began the psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Well, I shall not want. That's all I want. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't bail out on God in hard times. Don't give up. You see, in our fellowship, and in our friendship, and in our worship, this is a place to gain strength. If you go opposite direction, you've forsaken a great resource in times of trouble, or hardship, or difficulty. Number four. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4. So now in the context of having all these difficulties in life, just delight yourself in the Lord. I'm hurting. And to delight means to have great joy or pleasure. If I'm going to delight, it means I'm going to rejoice. I just experienced destruction. Again, there's another hymn. It's in our other songbook. The title song is Where Could I Go? The hymn writer said, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Says in the second stanza, neighbors are kind, love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. And yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? The chorus, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go? But to the Lord. To the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in times of discouragement or hardship or difficulty, if there was a sudden disaster in my life, where am I going to go? And now in this psalm, verse 4, he says, delight yourself in the Lord. So where could I go but to the Lord? The joy of the Lord is my strength to get me through the troublesome times that I have in my life. The disasters. Delight myself in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because He's not going to fail. Always be there. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasure. Something about staying on God's side that's refreshing. That circumstances of life cannot take away. Circumstances in life cannot remove the joy of the Lord. The word delight is used 6 times in Psalm 119. Here they are. All these from Psalm 119. Verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I'll not forget your word. Verse 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I'll keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Verse 77. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Without God's word, in your life and mine, the troubles that I experience may overwhelm me. They may capture me. The hardships or the discouragements of life, without God, without my delight in His Word that provides comfort and all these assurances, I would be overwhelmed and pushed down. In Psalm 100, verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. We find delight in God's Word. That's His lesson. Number five, what else can I do? In verse 5, Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord. The word trust again. Trust also in Him. He'll bring it to pass. And we wonder, how does committing to the Lord help me when I'm discouraged? How does committing myself to the Lord, dedicating myself to the Lord when I'm discouraged or hurting, how does that help me? And the answer is that it provides for us a place to go. A place to cast our burdens and our cares. And the Lord provides a shelter in the time of storm. In Psalm 10, verse 14, it says, the helpless commits himself to you, O Lord. You are my helper. When I'm helpless, God says, I'm here to help. I'm a helper. Psalm 37 says that. I'm helpless. God's helpful. In Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He'll sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But we have to stay on His side. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Just as we need physical resources to help us get through a loss or discouragement, God's a spiritual resource to get us through troublesome times. So number five is dedicate, commit your life to the Lord. Number six is don't fret. I mean, wait a minute. I'm going to fret. My situation causes me to fret. I'm at a loss. Don't know what. I'm wondering, why am I destroyed? Why am I experiencing this destruction or whatever it is in my life? Why am I in poor health? In Psalm 37, verse 7, says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Just because I'm going through hardships. If you fret, it means to gnaw. Or you're disturbed. I'm annoyed. If I fret, it means I'm worried. I'm irritated. I'm anxious. I'm fretting because of my situation. The word fret appears four times in the Bible. Three of them are right here in Psalm 37. And every time it says, don't fret. Psalm 37, verse 1, the psalmist began, do not fret because of evildoers. Verse 7, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, his evil ways. Verse 8, do not fret in any wise to do evil. So just because I'm anxious about my situation, don't do wrong, don't retaliate, don't be vigilante. And then Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs 24, verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. Now look what's happening to me, and that person over there is having a great time. Why me? No, don't fret because of evildoers, don't be envious of them. Five times in this psalm, Psalm 37, that gives us reasons not to fret. My time. Here they are. In verse 2, they shall stoop and wither as a green herb. In verse 10, talking about the wickedness, seeing why are they prospering and not me? Verse 10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it'll be no more. Verse 20, the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume or vanish. Into smoke shall they vanish away. Don't fret. Verse 34, the wicked are cut off, and you'll see it. Verse 35, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passes away and is no more. I don't need to fret. The last one, discipline yourself to wait. Just take time. There's some things I can't hurry. Like healing a sore or something. In Psalm 37, verse 7 and verse 9, wait for him. And waiting doesn't come easy. Especially when we're in immediate hardship. Sorry, that famous humorous prayer, you know, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Patience. Patience doesn't mean just to sit idly by. The idea of patience is to continue steadfastly. It means to progress on and look forward to a favorable response. I'm going to patiently wait, but I'm still going to be involved in ministry and service or go about my business. To be patient means to abide. It means to be long-suffering. If you're patient, you're going to endure. If you're patient, you're going to last the discouragement and put all of these other things in place while you patiently wait. Verse 9 of Psalm 37. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall receive the inheritance. That's right. Verse 34 of Psalm 37. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way. And he shall exalt you to an inheritance. So when facing loss, hardship, difficulty, whatever it is, work as if everything depended upon you, and then pray as if everything depended upon God. Psalm 37 is a formula to keep us on God's side. All of these things. Decide to trust. Don't lose that. Do good. Dwell on the Lord's faithfulness. You will be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Don't fret. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's a time for you to reflect upon your relationship to God. And if you're not a Christian, there's a simple plan or formula, procedures. Number one, I want you to hear the good news. You have. You know John 3:16. God so loved the world. Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Do not want perish. On everlasting life. And so Jesus commissions His apostles, go into all the world in Mark 16, verse 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. Tell the good news. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said that. So I want you to hear a good news gospel message. Then number two, believe it. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. So I want to believe that He is. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, he that comes to God must believe. Believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. I want to believe. And then number three, I want to repent. Turn my life toward God. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. And that's what in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian did when he requested to be baptized. Philip said, if you believe, you may. Well, Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in response to Philip's message concerning Jesus. So then Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. When those four things are in place, stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And they came up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. You know, you and I are going to walk in the direction we're looking. If you're looking toward God, you'll walk that direction. If you're not looking toward God, you're not walking toward Him. You're going to walk toward salvation. That's the invitation. If you have not done so already, you had that opportunity this morning. If you want to respond in a public way, and request to be baptized, we can do that. If you want to ask brethren for help or strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. We just need to let that be known. So I'm asking you, as we're singing this song, have a seat up here by me. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you a question, what's on your mind? And you will say, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or I want brethren to pray with me or for me. And we'll do that. So let's stand together and sing a song of nation and exhortation. If you need to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song.